Greetings from Podcastville. The church of What's Happening Now is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Listen, hiring can be pretty time-consuming. You post a job to several online job boards, only to get tons of wrong resumes. Then you got to sort out through all these resumes just to find a few people with right skills and experience. Those job sites that overwhelm you with the wrong resumes, that's not a smart way of doing things. I'll tell you what the smart way to do it is. ZipRecruiter.com/church. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you. And right now, the church family can try ZipRecruiter for free, no matter what type of business you have, big or small, at this exclusive address, ZipRecruiter.com/church. If you love the show, show support and ZipRecruiter by going to ZipRecruiter.com/church, C-H-U-R-C-H. That's ZipRecruiter.com/church. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Number two, listen, you want to start the new year off fucking tip-top Magoo, no problems. This is your year, right? That's what you've been telling me for the last fucking 10 days. 2019 is my year. I'm going to keep snorting and smoking and drinking and eating like a fucking gavone. Because it doesn't matter on the first, my job, my life is changing. You want your life to change, it starts with Onnit, right then and there. From the Shroom Tech Sport, the Shroom Tech Immune, to the fucking Alpha Brain, the signature supplement that they, this is what made them, was the Alpha Brain. And to boot, they give you 100% money back guarantee if it doesn't work for you and they don't want the product back. That's why I work with Onnit, because they're the real deal. Mongoli field. You understand me? So go to Onnit.com and press in.
Church.
Bam! And get 10% off and it gets delivered to your door. Start the year off on the right foot. Kick this fucking mule, Lee. Oh, shit. It's Thursday, the 27th, you bad motherfuckers. Post-Christmas. Little motherfucking Janet Jackson, kick it off of you. What? All plastic surgery, but who gives a fuck? You know what I'm saying? What am I, a doctor? Hit it. Oh, shit. It's kicking. Here we go. Here we go, Lee. Are you fucking nuts or what? This is Janet, 94. Kicking. Oh, shit. Thursday, you're sitting there with a thumb up your ass asking yourself, why the fuck am I at work today? What the fuck? Or why am I not at work today? What the fuck? Whatever your dilemma is, listen, Merry Christmas post to you motherfuckers, and that's it. Like I said in the beginning, 2019 is definitely motherfucking here. That's the first thing I thought about this morning. Like, fuck, Christmas is fucking over. We got a couple more days of this bullshit. And then on the 7th, it takes a couple more days. People got to talk about their bullshit of where they went to Morocco and they smoked hash with some fucking Indian. So nobody's really fucking full navigating until the 15th of January. That shit pisses me the fuck off, you know. But we'll talk about that stuff later. What I really want to talk to you about that I've noticed for the first time this year. I've noticed it in people before. But I really didn't notice it as much as I did this year. It was like, I don't know, maybe I'm getting older and you look at things. For the first time in a long time, I realized how people, there's a lot of people out there that don't do well over the holidays.
What do you mean don't do well?
They just don't do well. This part of the year does not agree with them. And I'm one of those people.
Is it like you what you were talking about earlier with people aren't working, or it's just emotionally?
Just emotionally. Some people do not click this time of the year. I was in New York last week. You know, I could be honest with you guys. I was in New York last week. Did I want to fucking be there? I'd rather be in my fucking warm house minding my business, going to kickboxing and shit like that. I went to New York for my family. I took my wife and my daughter, and it was cold, and there was ferries to take, and Monday alone, we took fucking 6 Ubers. But their happiness made me happy. Did I give a Frenchman's fuck about Christmas? Not really. I mean, the lights blew me away at Saks Fifth Avenue. And the tree, look, you saw a tree. You've been seeing trees since you were fucking 3. So it's got fucking lights on it. St. Patrick's is overwhelming. But my point is this. It's, I don't know. And I thought about it when I was there. I don't know. I don't know if it's those scumbag kids that ruined it by telling me fucking there was no Santa. I don't know if my mother dying gave me a weird feeling about Christmas, but I always just because you see some people and they're having a great time and they wear the fucking ugly sweaters and they go to parties and they take pictures and it's supposed to be joyous. You've been sitting there smoking a joint, there's people singing outside your door and you're like, what the fuck do I do now? Like, what do I do? I got people singing outside my door. You open the door and you're standing like a jerk off and you look at them. And then you give them candy, a couple of dollars. Here, get a dollar, go get a fucking throat lozenge. I don't know. I just never got that.
How has it changed for you since you've had Mercy?
Christmas is for her. But my wife will tell you, there's a couple of things I hate doing in life. I ain't going to the fucking doctor, but you got to go. Because, you know, you got to give them blood. But if I tell you what I hate the most, I hate shopping. I hate shopping. When I gotta go buy clothes, I go in there like a fucking hurricane. I go in there, I know what size I am, I know what waist, I know what jeans I want. When I'm in a fucking the tall fat store up at the Panga Canyon up there,
right.
Double X, whatever, it's 15 minutes. Like, I know exactly what I'm looking for. I know the sections to go to. I look at a couple things. I go to the section that's got the blue dots where it's like 40% off and shit. But I know exactly what the fuck I want, but I hate going Christmas shopping. Like, I'd rather give you the 20. Here, go buy yourself a fucking bottle of booze. Leave me the fuck alone. I gotta hunt and wrap. I don't understand. It just never really. So growing up, you're always doubting yourself. Like, why do I feel this way? Growing up, I'd be at a house and people be giggling and shit. And all I'd want to do is watch the football game. You know, like, that's all you really want to do. You're interested for the onion dip and the football game. You know, and it's kind of sad. So I thought it was just me. And then you fucking go out into the world and you bump into different people. And I remember having a friend in Snowmass. Good guy. And I didn't figure it out till like the third year I was in Snowmass that he would disappear around the holidays. He would disappear and just lay low. And I asked his brother, and he goes, you didn't know this by hanging out with him so long? You never see him over the holidays? And I thought about it. You just never saw it. Something happened to him when he was a kid over the holidays, and he never got that.
I get it. I mean, you asked me when you got here what I was doing for New Year's. I'm not a big party guy at all. So New Year's for me, I like to stay in sometimes. Sometimes it gets lonely, but I've gotten to a point where I enjoy it. And I honestly think, the reason why I asked about Mercy is my mom was here for 2 weeks and it was great. I hadn't seen her in about a year other than a couple days in Boston. And it made me think about you. I was like, I can't. Now every time I see her, part of me, even though I hate admitting it, is like, I wonder if this is the last time I'll see her. And I can't imagine what it would be like to have holidays without her. So with it, and whether or not, like, what, maybe you just don't get along with your family, or maybe you just don't like people. I get it. I don't like being around a lot of people. So for me, like, instead of being down about it, I try to be like, okay, well, what do I, if it's going to make me happy to sit at home and watch a Three Stooges marathon on AMC,
that's what it is.
Then just do what, like, give yourself the gift of just being, making yourself happy.
Right.
That's the way I started.
That's a good angle. That's a great angle. I agree with you. I did it for years. I didn't want to impose my, not saying misery, but not understanding. And I was raised Catholic, and I get the effects that Jesus was born, and I get all that stuff, and I love giving gifts. I love all that shit. Just, it's not like I'm fucking, you know, singing down the streets, jumping up and down. And this year, I've looked around me, and I've looked at the people around me. And I told Rogan when I got back, because Rogan was talking to me, him and his wife were thinking about New York or whatever. And I said, you know, I love New York City, but for me, it works 3 months a year. It works in September, October, and April. No humidity, no cold weather, that type right. of stuff. But when it comes to the holidays, New York destroys L.A. by a landslide.
What right? do you mean?
That right now in L.A., like, when I got off the plane, I could tell I was in L.A., and the Christmas spirit had just died. Like, it just died. Like, in New York, everything was up. Lights were up. People were singing already. Blah, 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 blah. You come to L.A., and there's really nothing going on. Last night when I got home, or 2 nights ago, Christmas Eve, I realized there was a North Hollywood Christmas parade. Did you know about it?
No, I didn't.
I didn't know nothing about it. We live right here close to North Hollywood. I didn't know nothing about it. So, yeah, I'm not blaming anything. The main topic here is depression over the holidays. And how I know for a fact I spoke to 5 people this year that were having a fucking hard time with the holidays.
There's a lot of pressure. My dad even said it. He's like, when you turn on the TV, all the movies and TV shows show people with their families, and if you happen to not live near your family, it's like, gee, like, am I doing something wrong, or why don't I have that? And it's hard to avoid this time of year.
Like, we were thinking of having people over Christmas Eve. I said, you know what? Let's just have people over Christmas Eve. I called 15 people. 12 of them were going to be out of town. And then I was like, I got to think about Mercy. And somebody invited us, that's where there's 30 kids.
Right.
So we went that route. I wanted to spend Christmas at the house. I would have fucking done it up nicely, you know. But out of the 15 people I like, 12 of them were gone.
Right.
You know, I just don't want to have an open house and then I have every fucking body at the house.
That's my nightmare.
Lying to you, yeah.
An open house when anyone could just show up?
Yeah, no. But I really wanted to do that. But again, I called around. Steve Simone was gone. Kate Quigley's gone. Theo Vaughn was gone. I mean, the amount of people who were fucking gone was just mind-boggling.
That's why I like L.A. this time of year. Because everyone leaves.
It's empty, you know. So that didn't bum me out. But I wanted to just give something back to all you guys, you know, that I see all the time. I think it was me, you, and D'Agostino. Like, out of everybody I called.
That's funny, yeah. And D'Agostino's from here. That's why he's here.
D'Agostino's got family, and he had obligations. So it would have been me, you, your mom, and the baby. The baby would have been losing the fucking mind at 6 o'clock at night on Christmas. So I said, forget it. Because that's all we're down to, you know. I mean, we have no family out here, nothing like that. But all these things, I mean, none of these things on the surface or even on the interior bother me. None of those things. It's just this time of the year. And if you know anything about me, part of me is the boredom. If you know anything about me, part of me is the action, especially living here, because it just dies. It just died. And I've told these guys for years, I shot an NFL promo commercial on Christmas Eve, maybe 2010, 2008. Work here goes late. So sometimes you catch a run, Jack. Like I caught a late run 1 year commercials in November. So two in November, one in December, then I caught like a movie. Things happen, you know, till the fucking 20th. I tell people that all the time. Things don't go nowhere. Things happen. Lately, I've been looking like a fucking asshole. Nothing happens. Like, you don't know what it's like to go on break knowing that on January 7th, you're going to a set and you're going to report to shoot 3 days on a fucking TV show. Your fucking holidays are so happy. You're so happy because not a lot of people go right into the year working.
Right, which is the other thing about this is, like, I can't. It must be tough leaving. Like, let's say we left for these 2 weeks, and then you have to pay for a hotel and all that. You have to buy all these Christmas gifts, and then January 1st rent is due, and you haven't worked for a couple weeks, and you paid all that money. Like, I almost take a little mini vacation in like February or something. Just why pay all this extra money for a flight now? Especially if the holidays aren't that important to you. Go somewhere in March. Do something like that.
But no time of the year is important to me. The time of the year is important to me is when I'm working and having a good time. And, you know, I've never been a vacation type of guy. Let's get it out of the way. You're either vacation type of person or you're non-vacation type of person. You have to live with these things. You have to come with this conclusion. Know yourself. So you don't put yourself in bad predicaments. Because sometimes we pick a partner who wants to be fucking Julie McCoy. And she's a travel director. And every week they want to do something. And you know what? In the beginning, because you want to get in their pants, you agree to this shit. But throughout the year, they'll tell you, like every 3 months, we need to take a trip. And now you're caught up in this shit of going to these. And for some people, they really enjoy that. And I'm not knocking that at all. I've just never been a vacation guy.
I like a relaxing vacation.
Even
I don't want to have to do
before stand-up comedy, your relaxation is just sitting at home and not moving.
Exactly. So I want to do that in a hotel, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you want to do all year.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? There's no vacation for you. I'm talking about people who go away and actually like let their mind go and have a great time. I don't qualify. And you're right. If I do go on a vacation, I don't like that much movement. Like I don't like that much movement. I enjoy Disneyland because I was on the site. You know, I enjoy when I go to Huntington Beach because I'm on the site. You know, 20 people have hit me up and asked me if I'm going to the UFC on Saturday.
Nah.
And they got a better chance of seeing fucking Muhammad Gandhi there. Because if I got to, listen, I won't drive downtown for fucking dick. Do you understand me? I fucking hate going downtown. Try me. Test me. Like, Hollywood's bad enough. Marina Del Rey's bad enough. Woodland Hills. See if you ever see my Cuban ass downtown. I wouldn't fucking go downtown if you paid me. I get lost every time I go downtown. You just go down there and get lost. So, I wouldn't go to a fight. I went to one fight, and it was the biggest mistake. Because you leave with 18 to, I can't do it. I like the fights. I got spoiled with Joe when we would go right from the Mandalay Bay upstairs, right downstairs.
Right.
I love that shit. Once I got to leave the facility and you got a far ride, you're in no danger.
Plus, it takes a while to get out of the parking lot. I can't imagine.
You know, it's people think like, what the? I met a guy on a plane a couple months ago, maybe a month ago or something. He's like, hey, man, I travel a lot. If you're lonely and you want to come over to my house, I go, where do you live? And he told me, I go, in contrast to the show, where it goes about 45 minutes, I go, listen, you got a better chance of hanging yourself or pulling up a Bourdain. And he was like, really? And I go, yeah. And then I think last week or the week before, you guys retweeted Chris D'Elia.
Oh, I agree. I love that. That was the best.
And you know, guys, you look at that clip and you go, there's something wrong with D'Elia. I look at that clip and I go, that's me. And there was a clip of D'Elia basically just saying when people call him up to, and ask him to do shit.
Yeah, you want to play flag football? You want to go to eat the best pancakes?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was
do you want to go stand in line and get breakfast? Not really. Do you want? I'm the same person. I don't know what I want to do till I want to do it. Yeah, especially I feel bad for people. People call me up all the time, man. If you're gonna do something, play, let me know. Okay. I don't know what I'm gonna do and how I'm gonna do it. If I call you up and you say to me, I'll be there in 40 minutes, you lost. So that's why I don't call nobody.
Because you might change your mind in 30 minutes?
No. Because when I'm ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready to go. That's why I fly solo. When this finger does this, when you're with me and this finger does this, that means I'm about to turn my back. I'm going to start walking.
Oh, that's why I get nervous when I go with you to shows, because I'm like, stop, he's going to leave me here. I have to know where he is.
If you stop, you fucked up. I will get in that car and leave you there. I have left tons of people at different places.
Oh, my God.
This finger means wrap it up. We're leaving. Once you see this shoulder go across like Bela Lugosi, like when he puts his cape on, you're in no danger seeing me stop. I go deaf. I don't hear nothing. You could be yelling, Joey, Joe. I don't know nothing. I get to that car. I pop it open. I get in that car. I don't know what I want to do till I want to do it. I felt really bad. I have a friend in Jersey, and he kept calling me, man, let me know when you're going to do something. I'm like, you're 40 minutes away. By the time you get here, I've done it, rolled the joint, and watched an episode of fucking Narcos.
Right.
So that's why I don't like that. When I'm sitting there and I get that first burst of hunger, I start thinking about what places I want to go to. And I start thinking about who would I call to go to those places. You never, except Mexican food maybe. But your sushi days with me are done. You embarrass me. With that generic white sushi.
Who cares? Because, see, this is where I was with you until this point. Who cares what the other person is eating?
And then he wants to go to Japan now to eat fucking American sushi.
No, I would try something there.
Yeah, you would try something there.
Like, he gets mad at me because I eat tuna and shrimp and different variations of all that.
Who goes out?
Who cares?
To eat fucking shrimp. Sushi.
Shrimp is delicious.
How bad do you want to be to go get the same shit you get everywhere? Which is shrimp salad. Shrimp toast, the main fucking thing, so they could slice it and put it on a piece of rice, and it still tastes
delicious.
Like shit.
No, it doesn't taste like shit.
You don't even put wasabi on it.
I do absolutely put wasabi on it. How dare you?
You don't put no wasabi.
I do.
On.
He just gets mad because it's not what
mad.
You want. But
I don't get mad. I don't get
yes,
mad
you do. You said I can't go to sushi anymore.
To you're an embarrassment. So I tell you the truth, you're an embarrassment. Not taking you for sushi. Even the waiter looks
at
me.
Who are you embarrassed? Yeah, I was going to say the waiter.
The waiter looks at me and goes, "Who? Where did you find this fucking mutt? Sushi, tuna, and fucking shrimp like a fucking...
It's delicious.
His name is Hank. Get the fuck out of here. You got to get the rolls.
I do get rolls.
The blue crab rolls, the soft shell rolls, the fucking eyeball rolls. You got to get all those rolls. Fucking people trying to get whatever. But, you know... Like, the death thing really bothers me because I could tell you, even before my mother died, I wasn't hip on the Christmas thing. I was hip on it because I knew my mom was going to give me an envelope. Besides that, I wasn't hip on it. Like, I didn't give a fuck. Once I found out there was no Santa, I just lost it. I think it was the no Santa thing. I don't know who told me because my mom... for about 2 or 3 years, had me fucking confused. She had me on the ropes, guys. My mom was that good. And I watched like a hawk. And when you watch them like a hawk and they fuck you, you can't. My mother was good. From the ages of 5 to like 8, she had me. Even after people told me there was a fucking Santa Claus and I confronted her, she still fucked my shit up. I looked all over that house for gifts and the tank and the basements. I looked everywhere. I couldn't find them. I went to the bar with her. I came back. The gifts were under the fucking tree. Till this day, I never, like before she died, never really asked her because I kind of liked the fucking thought of there being a Santa.
Yeah. It does. I mean, I grew up
the only way I'm thinking is if one of her friends slipped in and brought gifts in and then slipped back out. That's the only way I could, but I would watch her like a hawk. all those Christmas years that she was alive. Then once I found out, I didn't give a fuck anymore. I didn't watch her. But I would watch her like a fucking hawk. If she was going to the store, what she would bring when she'd come back. I would look through the receipts, and I couldn't, I couldn't find the fucking thing. And then Christmas fucking Eve, there's 20 gifts. So that's what I think fucked me up. Once I fucked up, once that scumbag on the corner who told me there wasn't a Santa, it must have crushed everything I had inside as a kid.
There's that. I always hated getting, like, for holiday stuff, like, you have to get ready. And God forbid it's at your house, you have to help her, help your mom get ready and set the table. And I used to hate that stuff. That was, and then there's always like a couple people at the parties that you don't like, and then you have to spend your time avoiding them. That was what got me.
Everywhere I go, there's something I don't like, so I'm used to that shit, except jujitsu and shit like that. But just, it just bothers me that, because I know I'm not alone. I know I spoke to a few people, and I thought I was the only one that had it, and I faked the funk for years. And then over the years, I've heard people mention little things under their breath, like, I can't wait till it's over, you know. And even in the Netflix special, I talk about the first year without having my mother, that I think back at that, and it's traumatizing. Like, it's amazing that I made it through that holiday patch.
Especially that young.
If it wasn't for the drugs and my stupidity, maybe I would have been dead. I don't fucking know. But I know that first year, when I think back to it, when I was writing that joke and I thought about Gina, and I remember just thinking about that first year without her, it was like anything else in my life. Like, it was like going to prison and thinking about not having weed ever again. Like, nothing happened. Life went on. Like, you always think something bad's going to happen. Like, when I got sentenced, I'm like, how am I going to make it in there without weed? I don't need Chinese food. I don't need this, but I'm always going to need weed. Next thing you know, I hadn't smoked weed for 6 months, and I was doing well. You know, you always think how you're going to make it, and that's that first holiday without that loved one is got to be one of the roughest fucking patches in your life. And it starts... You get that knot in your stomach 2 days before Thanksgiving. Doesn't even bother you. You think about it, but you put it under the carpet. And then 2 days before Thanksgiving, you get that fucking knot. And then on Thanksgiving, you realize that person's not at the table. That is terrible. That is horrible. When you realize that that person's not at the table. And then you go to bed that night, you're a little bummed, but you wake up the next day and there's fucking Christmas everywhere. But you're numb to it. You're immune to it. You got immune to it at the fucking Thanksgiving table. And you go through the motions and you smile with your girlfriend or your wife. But at the end of the day, you're like, I fucking can't wait for this fucking holiday to be over. I don't know why Christmas is that holiday. And listen, you know, there's a lot of ways to seek help. You call a friend. There's suicide hotlines. There's just people to talk to. But my go-to people are my friends, man. When I'm feeling that way, and sometimes you don't have to tell them. You don't have to call your friend and say you're feeling shitty. Just calling somebody and them talking to you for 4 or 5 minutes about generalities unravels things. You don't have to call me and go, Joey, I feel like a fucking asshole. I miss my mommy. I'll accept that. But I'd rather you call me and talk to me about something else and unravel your mind that way, because that's what I usually do. When I'm a little stuck, I'll call somebody. I'll call a motherfucker 2 a.m. and I'll unravel with him. And then if he gets to the core of it, then I'll tell him. Like, I have a friend, Mike Duffy, that I've known since Colorado. I've known him since grammar school, really, his family, his father. I met his father before I knew him. We've been talking a lot the last couple of days because we're both hurting over a friend, he's hurting over his son going into the army, and he's all alone, you know, and it's ugly to be 59 and to be all alone in your home, you know, and a lot of people going through some rough stuff right now. Another dear friend of mine lost his parent this year. He's going through some shit. You know, I saw a dear friend. We have a dear friend that's going through some stuff right now. He lost his dad about 2 Christmases ago, and I see it. And this year, like, 2 of the 3 people I have not spoken to, because I just remembered this topic just fucking, you know, I thought about it when I was in New York, a lot about it, because I was back in my neighborhood. The one day we were going to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and we were supposed to turn on 86th Street, and I told the Uber driver to turn on 88th Street instead, so I could see my old building, and I saw the Christmas holidays, and I saw the Christmas holidays on Amsterdam, and as I went to the Met was when I started thinking about it, how if it wasn't for my wife and daughter, New York, it would have just been another day for me. But since I had my wife and daughter in the car, and they were happy, you know, you should have seen my daughter's face at the fucking Radio City Music Hall. Now, would I go to that thing on my own with my wife? Fuck no. Fuck no. But even my wife, just to see the smile on her face while she was holding the baby up, and the baby would sit next to me, and then she would go back. And then I passed out for 2 fucking hours. I fell asleep at the Radio City Music Hall Rockette show. You know how embarrassed I was when I woke the fuck up?
That's what dads do.
Oh, my God. I put the 3D glasses on and just passed the fuck out. But just doing that, the next day going to New York and walking around, and that's when all those memories came back to me. That, like, I still remember going to the tree with my friends, being in, like, 13 in the 8th grade, and lying to my mom, telling my mom that we were going to go somewhere, and we take the bus over, go to the Rockefeller Center, go see the tree, and there'd be a bunch of kids singing, and me and my friends would sit there like, look at these fucking momos singing. Like, you know, like, I would think to myself, not really my friends as much as I would. Because I never felt that. I never felt the joy to fucking want to sing. You know, like, so what I'm just trying to say is that, listen, man, if you don't feel it through the holidays, you're not alone. For years, I felt that I was the only person that was going through this. And it made me feel fucking terrible inside. Like, it made you feel like a Scrooge. You're not a Scrooge. You're just not a fucking holiday person. And something must have happened. You know what happened. Which makes, you know, I always tell people, one of your parents die, or somebody close to you dies, sometimes in life it's like taking salt out of your food. It's like you're still eating food every day, but it's not salty. It doesn't have that flavor to it. That's what happens. That's what happens when you lose a loved one and a holiday comes. That holiday isn't the same because, so I get all that shit. But what I'm trying to explain to you people is not to feel bad that you're not fucking Elvis Presley jumping up and down for joy. It's normal. You don't have to go see a psychiatrist. You don't have to go see anything. You just, because trust me, I beat myself up over this for fucking years. And I can't tell you how many Christmases I was doing well that I just fell asleep. Like, I couldn't wait for the holiday because I knew I could sleep for 2 or 3 days. And then I would get revved up again for New Year's Eve, and I'd be ready to go, like I am now. Like, now I'm ready for this fucking year to start. Like, I'm ready to fucking go. I want Oxnard to be over. Do Oxnard tomorrow, Friday and Saturday. Tonight, Friday and Saturday. And then fucking, that's it. And then I got a whole week of waiting. You got a whole week, because this town ain't doing nothing until Wednesday, which is the 2nd.
Right, yeah, absolutely not.
Nothing's happening. So for a guy like me, yeah, I got shit to do. I could write, I wrote today. I went to jiu-jitsu today, into the private with my man Vinny. I could do shit. But it's not the type of action. Like my all my other action is shut down. We could still do the podcast, which is great. I mean, we could have taken off. We took off last week. We could have taken off. But no, I wanted somebody, especially this shit, this topic, where people are feeling this right now still. And they're going to listen to this podcast and go, oh, I thought I was the only one that felt that way. No, I did this podcast because I wanted you to know that you're not alone. There's no chemical imbalance. There's no nothing. Some people like broccoli. Some people don't. You know, the other day, Lee came over to the house with his mom, and they were kind enough to stop at Gelson's, right, and get cupcakes or something.
Yeah.
And I saw Lee open up a cupcake. I never saw anything like that in my life. It was the neatest cupcake. If you looked at Lee, you thought he had a fucking lobster tail in front of him with a piece of pussy next to it on the side. I watched the whole cupcake go down, but he did it so politely. Like he had a paper towel under it. He had a plan for this cupcake. Then he took the wrapper off the cupcake very meticulously. He didn't want to mess up the frosting. And if I'm correct, I think he even used a fork.
Absolutely.
That's how much it was as meticulous as I've ever seen anybody eat a fucking cupcake.
Really? I hate, there's nothing I hate more. And this is why I think the fly thing bothers me. I might not be super organized, but I hate like getting sticky or getting stuff on my, it drives me bananas. So the thought of getting like cup, cause there's a lot of frosting on it. The thought, especially at your house, like not like at my house, I could wipe it off or go wash my hands, but it's somewhere else in front of people.
I got a bathroom.
No. My mom has a joke that when I was a kid, she could leave me on a towel outside because I didn't like the feeling of grass on my, like, it was like it was prickly. So I don't like all that. I don't like frosting on me. I don't go and get wings out because I can't imagine how, like, very rarely.
Wings out?
Yeah.
What do you mean wings out?
Like if you go out, go to like Buffalo Wild Wings or a place to get, the only place I've gotten wings with you is that place, and I think it was Austin, the hotel had really good wings. But if you look, I have like 18 napkins in front of me because there's no way I'm leaving that on my face. Especially around my mom and then your wife and daughter. You don't want to make an ass of yourself.
Doug, you make an ass of yourself doing everything else. Why?
No,
what's the difference between fucking...
Merry Christmas.
What's the difference between eating a cupcake like it's the last fucking steak on earth? My point was that the way you looked at that cupcake, I didn't give a fuck about a cupcake. I don't give a fuck about cupcakes. But the way you looked at that cupcake, you meant business.
Absolutely.
You ripped the things off. You cut it with a fork. You, to me, I would just eat the cupcake in two fucking bites because I'm an animale. So that's what I'm trying to say. We beat ourselves up too much. We beat ourselves up too much. And you're talking to the king of beating himself up. Nobody beats themselves up more than I do. That's why I smoked the weed. I smoked the weed so I could think about what I did to the fucking precision and then beat myself up along the fucking way. Why I did this, why I said that. That's the reason why I smoke weed. Weed keeps me in check. It always has and always will be. It plays the tape back and it makes me remember what I did, why I did it, and what made me fucking do it. So this is what I'm just trying to say to you people, that, again, the holidays are not for you. That's fine. They don't have to be. There is a holiday that's for you. Maybe you go fucking bananas during the 4th of July. Maybe you feel like marching during Martin Luther King Day. I don't fucking know. But that's the whole point of this fucking podcast tonight. That and something else. The thing that made my dick hard today was that Sunday, Christmas Eve, I had to go to the other side of town. And I stopped in CVS. And I got my fucking day planner for 2019, and I got my notebook for 2019, even though I didn't need it. And it's so weird that to me, right now, today, it's 2019. And I'll tell you something, if you want to get anything accomplished next year, you should be playing right now like it's 2019 already. Right now, you're shooting pool. You're putting the balls, you're setting up the field for your 2019 to be easier. I already started writing my goals for 2019. I already started to figure out how I wanted to do things. I talked to the book agent, told him where I was. You know, I'm already setting up. Like Lee asked me what I did today. I talked to a few agents today. I mean, I am the type of guy that in my mind, it's 2019. I want everybody to know that you ain't going to wait till the 15th of the month when you're fucking with me. We go right to work Wednesday the 2nd. Right to work. We go right to work like nothing happened. There's nothing I could do before that. Nothing you could do. You're just going to be calling an empty fucking phone. I bumped into somebody the other night, some girl at the Comedy Store Sunday night, and she was asking me if I knew who wanted a job. I go, now is not the time of the year. And then she goes, well, I'm also trying to get an agent. I go, again, now is not the time of the year. She goes, well, I'm going to go out on Thursday and put on a bunch of envelopes. I go, to who? A bunch of dead people? They're not coming back till the 7th. And to top it off, mentally, they're not going to be there till you have to imagine the 10th or the 11th. There's not going to be no mental. You're still thinking about the holidays and what you spent and flying back and your kid got sick and your cat vomited. And, you know, so you have so many fucking things that are on your mind. This different parts of the year where you're thinking of things. Me, I'm not doing anything, but I am doing something. I'm setting up my year. I am setting up my year. And this is the same thing. I'm no smarter than you fucking guys. This is the same thing you motherfuckers should be doing. Yeah, tomorrow you have work. Friday you have work. Start thinking about this at work. Start thinking about this tomorrow instead of watching TV. Go for a walk. Take a pad and a piece of pen with you and figure out what things you want to do next year. What things are you sick and fucking tired of not doing that you need to fucking do? Already, I've been on it. Like, already, I'm starting to do this shit already. I told you. Nobody beats themselves up more than I do. Last night, I got up at 4 in the fucking morning. I stayed up for about 35 minutes. I got so high, I had to go right back to bed. I'm not going to lie to nobody. I got some tremendous fucking weed. I took a picture of it tonight. I got so fucking high last night. I went back to bed till 8 in the morning. I went to bed about 10 last night.
Damn, that is good weed.
9:45, I was out fucking cold. And I got up at 4, wide awake, with 1,000 things to write. I got up, I peed, I made a fucking cup of coffee. I thought I was going to have to stay up. I go, I'm just going to stay up and go to jiu-jitsu at 11 with Vinny. And dog, I went in the back and smoked this fucking weed. And I got so high, I'm like, oh my God, even with the coffee, I got to go back to bed. And I went back in that bedroom. I put my head down and my heart was beating. I go, I'm not going to fall asleep. Next thing you know, I opened up and it was 7:58. And I'm like, I like it. I got a fucking couple hours in me. I'm rested. But when I woke up, I looked over what I wrote, and it was my goals. Like personal goals, weight goals, comedy goals, you know, like all that time. Like I started writing down, like comedy, for example, you know, I want to do 20 weeks, and I want to shoot a special, and I want to write something different for a special. And I started writing down what things I had to do that, write an hour a day. Get on stage 5 times a week. You know, I put down that I want to go down to 265. That's 21 pounds. You know, I wrote, how am I going to do that? By watching my points, by being careful with the edibles and smoking weed and going crazy at night with the fucking munchies. I pretty much little by little eliminated everything out of the house at night, late night, except for the fucking 2-point Jell-O puddings. Those Jell-O puddings are 2 points. I could eat those all fucking day at night. I could eat 2 of those and I'm fucking good. And nobody gets their feelings hurt. Cosby gets a nickel, you know, and everybody's all right. He can buy fucking Visine for his glossy eyeballs and shit. So he can fucking try to rape somebody in prison, that poor bastard. And yeah, if you're not getting your 219 in order, you're fucking slipping. You really are. Like, you should already have your notebook. You should already just start writing down if you want to go to college, what you want to do while you're in college, what things you want to look at. Anybody can write their goals down. This is what I learned from writing goals down. That anybody can write, yeah, I want a Mercedes. But how are you going to get a Mercedes? yeah, I want a new wife. How are you going to get a new wife? Once you write that how out, that's where the power comes from. It's like when you lift weights. You don't lift weights, you don't gain strength from the push. It's from the pullback, from how you resist. It's the same thing with goals. When you write your goals down, I love when people send me goals and they're like, I want to do this. I want to be an astronaut. I want to make $1 million. You know, tell me how you're going to make $1 million. What is your plan? If you write it out to the fucking T, as crazy as this sounds, I swear to God, as crazy as this fucking sounds, when it happens, you will go back and look over this thing, and it won't be exactly how you said it was going to happen, but it'll be pretty fucking close. Because a man without a plan is not a man. So write it out. You know, I wrote out that I want to do a new special. I want it to be centralized around the story and then jokes coming from that story. If I'm a good storyteller, I got to utilize these things. And it was so weird how already from doing, I didn't write the story yet, I wanted to say or anything, but from writing out the story and the way I wanted to attack it, I filled out like 3/4 of a page. You're going to notice that your own mind will tell you what you already know. Years ago, I told you, everybody buys an iPhone and an iPad. I have the answers to your fucking problems. You just don't want to fucking look at them and be honest with yourself. That's where being grounded really, really comes in. You have to look at yourself and go, these are my fucking shortcomings. And there's nothing I can do about it. These are my shortcomings. And there's nothing I can fucking do about it. What am I going to do? Well, I could either let them be shortcomings, or I could work on them, and they're still going to be shortcomings, but they're going to be a little stronger. And that's what I did this year with a lot of different situations. And for some reason, for some things it worked for me, and for some things it didn't. It's me being as grounded as I can. Number one, I have you guys to keep me in check. Number two, I talk to my friends at home every fucking day. They keep me in check. I never want to forget about who the fuck I am. And if I'm slipping, I should know because of the results. When you're slipping, you know because of the results you're getting. I did 3 spots. I stayed off stage for 2 weeks. I went on stage Saturday, which is the fucking disaster. And I went on stage twice Sunday. They were both disasters. The timing was off. The jokes were off. Everything was fucking off. I know this. So yesterday, that night when I got home Sunday, obviously, I went to the drawing board a little bit. But Monday, Christmas Eve, was when I really realized the mistakes I had made. And there was nothing you could do. It was called ring rust and laziness. That's what happened. It was ring rust and laziness. Not lazy because I didn't get on stage. You should always give it a breather. Especially with stand-up, especially after you've gone through a long stretch to get rid of the bad mistakes you're doing. When I was a basketball player, I had a bad mistake I used to do. I would grab the rebound and then throw it down and then go up. When you grab a rebound, you don't put the ball down. You go right back up with it. So for years, I made this horrible mistake. Sometimes on stage, you make mistakes. You stick on to a saying you shouldn't be saying. There's something in your jokes that you shouldn't be saying. I promised myself that when I went to New York, I was going to look over my jokes and rewrite them, get rid of the Terry Crews stuff, get a new closer. When I went back to New York, between not feeling well and always being on the move, I didn't really have a chance to look over it. When I got back, I looked over it for 2 days, but it wasn't sufficient time to go on stage and prepare. I'm not making an excuse for myself. I'm telling you the reasons why I fail. I know when I fail on stage, and I try to correct it, so when I go out in front of the big stages, like this weekend in Oxnard, I'm fucking prepared for that. A lot of people can't deal with that. A lot of people don't like when people say something to them about them. Me, I'm the type of person, I don't like somebody to say something to me about it. I should feel it. I should know it. I should see what the fuck is going on. So This is just a couple things just to get your 2019 started. If life hasn't been going your way, maybe start taking some advice. Maybe start asking people for help. You know, just because it works for fucking Lee doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Just because it works for Joey Diaz doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Just because it means it works for you doesn't mean it's going to work for Joey Diaz. But I will tell you one thing that works constantly, and that's writing down your goals. And that's yearly, quarterly, and monthly. And if you really want to push it, go weekly. I do all four. I do what I want from the year, and I look back at what I wanted from this year. And let me tell you something. I got everything except two guest spots on TV shows. I went for four. I got two. So I was halfway there, you know. I looked at how many times I auditioned. I didn't even have the opportunity to fucking book two other ones because I only went out for like three other fucking shows all year. I only went on seven auditions this year.
Compared to what, 10 years ago?
$240
Wow.
And I'm going with three theatrical auditions a week and two commercial auditions a week.
So now
I'm going with 12 theatricals,
right?
And fucking eight commercials. So I would do 20 auditions a month from 1997 to 2007. That was pretty much the fucking, that was pretty much it. Especially for a guy like me. Especially after The Sopranos. How many fucking opportunities opened up? I went on seven fucking auditions this year. Unless something changes in the next four fucking days, unless you guys know, I got two movies offered to me. Thank you very much. The people who offered them to me, but there were movies that were both out of state. And I had already prior fucking commitments. But that's how slow the TV and movie business has been for me. But I put four guest stars on four different shows, and I got two. I put a special down. I put 20 weeks of work down. And I put the right 30 new minutes of material. I did all of them.
So do you put the ones that you missed on next year's?
Next year is next year. Next year I want something different.
Okay.
So for next year I want something different. No, you never tag on. Next year you want a different set of fucking goals. Every year is something different. And it's, I want you to, when you're writing your goals, yeah, you want life goals and you want success goals. But I'll tell you what's the pages that should be even bigger is your personal goals. Weight, attitude, you know, all that shit, that goes in there with it. I started doing that one about 10 years ago. Maybe about 7 years ago. And I started lightening up. I could feel my life lightening up a little bit once I started writing. Because it's important. It's important to notice stress. It's important to notice pressure. It's important to notice unhappiness. It's important to notice so many things as they touch your life. So you don't absorb them. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? Frustration with your job. You ever have a job and you go to work early every day and you're like, you know what, man, I want a promotion. And all of a sudden some guy comes in, he's got a college degree and he gets the promotion. That's frustration. You know what? Quit your fucking job. Because they already touched you with frustration. It's going to grow inside of you. You're going to continue to go to that job, see that boss, see that guy. Yeah, he might get fired, then you might get the job, but they didn't want to give you the job in the first place. So you don't really want to be there. Situations like that. When things touch you, that's it. Because if they touch you and you feel that, it's only going to get worse for you. You know, unhappiness, uneasiness. If you're stressed out by a job, like you're fucking there 80 hours a week and they don't tell you what to do and, you know, they want results, all those little things, they take away from your fucking who you are, You don't know it, and you don't see it at 20 and 30. Neither did I. I see it now. I see how happy I am now that once I notice it, the neck hairs stick up, and you either could proceed or step back. If you proceed, you're going to get the same results you always got the rest of your fucking life. If you step back, you might lose a little bit of money. You might lose a little bit of fucking work. But you know what? You gain peace of mind, and you gain 2 years on your fucking life, which is the most important fucking thing at the end of the fucking... You know, it's so weird what I... This is why, again, it's a joke, but I fucking hated that whole thing of 30 years ago. Because 30 years ago, if you would ask me my goals, the first one I would write down would be money. Money, 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 money. I wanted money. I wanted money. I didn't have a reason why I wanted it. I didn't know how I was going to make it. I just, the number one thing would be money. Not to keep up with the Joneses so I could do coke and drive a Testarossa. And about 15 years ago, I found the happiness in life. And even though me and my wife lived in a one-bedroom apartment with six cats, and the apartment smelled like cat piss, we had air conditioner, we had cable TV, we had a microwave, the refrigerator was always filled with food. And that's the first time that I gained real happiness in my life, on my own. And I still remember sitting on that, we used to not even have a couch. What's that shit? The futon. We had a futon that I broke, and we had a crazy glue and put 2x12s in it. You know, it was like Ralphie's. Ralphie broke everybody's futon.
No.
In town. Oh, everybody had a futon and broke it. Ralphie broke it from the guy that opened this doors up to us, the boxer, that I still got to get on the podcast, Medina. So there was Gavin Boyd's. He broke Gavin Boyd's fucking whatever, and he broke somebody else's. He broke like three or four of those fucking futons. Oh, my God. From that futon in Hollywood, that was the first time I ever looked around. We had an apartment, bro, that if there was an earthquake, the walls would... There was an earthquake once when I lived in that building, and I could hear the bricks hitting each other.
Oh.
It was the scariest building in the world. It's hell. They retrofitted it, but all we need is a 3.5 earthquake, and that building's going down. It didn't matter. I remember sitting on the couch with one of the cats. And at that time, I was doing coke. I was still doing coke. When I remember I was saying, you know what? I'm a lot happier now than what I was 10 years ago. And I don't have 3/4 of the shit I wanted. But I had a girlfriend that cared for me. I had these cats that I loved. And I had a semi little comedy career going on at the Comedy Store. I was working. I was acting. I was like, fuck, I just shot this with James Coburn. I just did this. You know, I was happy. And there was no money. There was no money. There was maybe $80 in an ATM account. And my wife had $600 or $700 functioning dollars for the house. That, you know, if we wrote a check, we would bounce it just like anybody else in America. You know, just like anybody else in America. You know. So it's just really weird that I remember going, wow, I have $80 in the checking account and I have a checking account. Life ain't that bad. And this whole time I thought I needed $1 million. You don't. You don't. I'd rather you have a job that you enjoy, 3 people that you like around you, a home that suits your needs, you know. Yeah, everybody wants a house with a fucking butler who lights your cigarettes and you can walk around naked and there's 15 chicks hanging upside down with their mouth open. That's all great and fucking dandy, but how many of us could really get that? None of us. So we get the bedroom, we get whatever the fuck we want, and that's happiness. It's not half the shit that you, right now you're young and you're thinking this guy drives this and this guy drives that. Listen, doesn't really fucking matter what you drive at the end, because when you're in that fucking casket, do you think they're going to sit around you and go, oh, he drove a fucking Lamborghini all his life? No. They're all going to sit around you and go, what a poor bastard you are for drinking milk, and you got a heart attack fucking somebody on Viagra, whatever the fuck you did. That was dumb. And that's it, and that's that, man. That's what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the feelings that we get around this time of the year and how for years I felt shitty about them, and at the end of the day, they don't matter. It's just not your cup of tea. And I wanted to talk about prepping for the next year. If you ain't fucking prepping, you're slipping. So please, once you listen to this podcast, before the weekend starts, you've been having some rough times in your life. Maybe the opioids, maybe your fucking animal died, maybe a loved one died, maybe you got fired, maybe you have to switch careers. You know what? Write yourself out of this jam. You don't need to be Hemingway. Trust me, I'm no fucking Hemingway. I've written myself out of these jams by just sitting down, being honest with that notebook. Hey, if you're scared of this is a notebook that I have hidden. I have a hidden notebook.
What do you have in your hidden notebook?
I have shit that I just write in there from time to time. I want one person to find it. My wife will know how to find it. She doesn't know about it, but she'll know how to find it. And I've told her about it, so when she finds it, she's going to know exactly what it is.
Is it like a diary?
No, it's a notebook that I write to my daughter.
Oh, okay.
It's a book that I write to Mercy. I try to write in there 3 times a week. And I compare our lives. You know, I tell her how strong she is, how well she's doing. And I try to tell her what I was doing at my age, at that life. You know, I try to tell her different things. So she never feels like I feel growing up. If something happens to my parents, I want her to know who I was through my own words, you know. Just something from watching Sons of Anarchy.
No, yeah, it's a great idea.
Something I copied from Sons of Anarchy. I thought it was a great idea. Then like that, you really know, you don't hear nothing. You get to read their thoughts. Reading somebody's thoughts are very important, you know. Social media is social media. If you... There's times I write what's in my heart on social media, but there's times I really can't because people would lose their fucking minds.
Is it hard to be that honest with the notebook?
No, you have to be honest with something. You have to be honest with something. Like I said, I have the hidden notebook and then I have like 2 other notebooks, and I'm honest with all 3 of those notebooks.
Because otherwise it can't work, I would assume.
No, it will not work. When I get home from that set, when I get home at night, there's 1 more page I write in my notebook. And that's how my day went, how my workout went, how the podcast went, where I want the podcast to go. You know, I ate too much fish for dinner. But at least you're getting it on paper. Nothing is more powerful than the fucking pen, the power of the pen. And I'll sit here for 200 podcasts a year and I'll tell people that the pen is the end of all their fucking problems because it was the end of all my problems. Nothing really moved forward till I started writing. And once I started writing about the past and reading it, then I really launched. Then I really took off. And I'm not a dog. I took no writing classes in college. I took nothing. I don't know nothing. I know how to tell a story. But telling a story and writing a story are 2 different fucking things. So there's times I write like I talk, and I wake up the next morning, and it's fucking 3 pages of garbage. Because I write like I talk. I could writing a story and telling a story, it's 2 different fucking things. But writing the truth is a fucking huge thing on a piece of paper. About how you did, about a certain behavior, about something you said, about a lie you told. Once you clear it up on paper, somebody's going to find that someday. Somebody might not find that someday. It doesn't matter. You came clean. Coming clean is good for the soul. Coming clean is good to move ahead. And coming clean is phenomenal for comedy. Because you empty all that shit out of your head. Because once you tend to become a comedian, it's like me, every day I sprinkle fucking grass seeds in your head. And you got to figure out what works for you and what doesn't. If not, you'll die of bombings.
Right.
Which you die of anyway, you know, I did the same thing. But this teaches you how to die less bombings by having a notebook. You know, like I said, the Artist's Way years ago, 20 years ago, was a big hot book there. And I asked somebody what it was that says when you wake up in the morning, write, get a blank piece of paper and write your thoughts out. Write all that babble out of your head. I had been doing it already. I'm like, I can't believe that I've been doing what they recommended here. And it works.
Honestly, it sounds like the reason why I like therapy is just to get those thoughts out of your head, and you're able to do it just in a different way. Like, do you ever speak it when you're writing it, or you're all very quiet?
It's all in my head. Sometimes I'll be laying down. Sometimes I'll be in a conversation thinking about how I'm going to write it. Or like sometimes I'll be in the room with my wife watching a TV show, and we should be focusing on the show, but I'm thinking about how I'm going to write this thing down that I just thought about and where it's going to be placed.
How do you feel if you don't get to do this journaling?
I'll feel irritated for a few days until I get it out. Because sometimes I just get caught up in the moment like everything else, and I'll forget to write it. And it's like having a joke before you go to sleep at night and thinking that you're going to remember right. It in the morning. There's no worse feeling than laughing in bed at 2 in the morning and going, fuck, let me turn on a light and write this down, and going, that motherfucker was so funny. I remember what the fuck I said in the morning. And when you wake up in the morning, listen, I'll give you $2,000 if you remember it. You ain't going to remember shit unless you write it the fuck down or tell somebody. Now I just get up and write it down because I've lost so many wars over not getting up and writing a stupid joke or just writing a key word from the joke or something, you know. Hey. Whatever. However the fuck, whatever floats your boat, man. We're all different here. I do this podcast to let you know it's okay to be fucked up. It's not okay to be fucked up and live in fucking denial. It's okay to be fucked up and say, you know what? I'm fucked up. I got good days and I got bad days like everybody else. That's why I do this fucking podcast. Just like you guys. We all fucking put our pants on one leg at a time, and we all bleed when we get cut. So that's it, and that's that. It's a Church of What's Happening Now on a Thursday afternoon. If you're not doing anything tonight, tomorrow, or Saturday night, myself, Lee, and the flaming fucking gay fireball of death, Eric Rocha, will be fucking kicking ass up there up at fucking Levity Live in Oxnard. That's if you're not doing nothing, all right? If you got plans, you know me. You got to live and let live. I'll catch you next time. I do a lot of spots around town, but if you ain't doing dick and you're bored and you want to smell some reefer and see how some fucking savages live, whether you live in Ventura, Santa Barbara, Tapatio, what's Fido Beach, where you like?
Pismo Beach.
Pismo Beach. Come on down, cocksuckers. We'll be sparking. We're doing the whole fucking thing. I'm bringing some special edibles for Lee. We got these 500 milligram fucking brownies. Look at Lee.
They're Coffman. Strong as fuck.
They're stronger than death. You understand me?
Are these the one that George gave you?
Don't worry about who gave them to me. No names. You understand me? No names. You never say no fucking names. Don't worry about who gave it to you. We just got them. They just appeared. And we got like 10 more that we got to eat by the end of the weekend. You understand me?
Perfect.
So the rest of the weekend, we're splitting them every night, 500 milligrams. We're going deeper than deep. Old school. You understand me? Because every once in a while, I gave up the edibles, but this edible agrees with me. I got to be honest with you.
When have you ever given up the edible? You just have less.
I gave up edibles for like 3 months. Then I ate a piece in Boston that was terrible. And then I didn't eat them again. And then George showed up with these brownies.
What happened to No Names?
And one night on the way home, what happened to what?
What happened to No Names?
No Names. George showed up, No Names. And he gave me this and it sat in the closet. And one night I was sitting there, it was like 9:30. I said, let me bite a bit off. I bit a bit off. I got so fucked up and I gave it away. I gave it to a friend of mine. And he told me the next time I saw him, he was like, Jesus Christ, what's on in those things? And I'm like, they are pretty fantastic. I went in my closet and found another one. And then my man dropped 5 off on me the other day. I had to give 1 to my buddy. You got to pay the VIG. And then I gave 2 to my other buddy, and I kept 2. And then last night he came up, my man, and dropped off a fucking box. So to make sure we're covered for fucking Oxnard, so there's no misunderstandings. You understand me?
Thank goodness. We wouldn't want that to happen.
And they even got a little CBD oil in there. I put a little extra something in your little piece tonight. I know.
It was crunchy at some point. Crunchy. You did something.
I knew you were going to get it.
God damn
it. I ain't going to pay. I got to hook you up. I got to take good care of you. Don't even ask what I gave you. Even if you go for the drug test, they won't find it.
I'll just drug test myself and see.
They won't find it. It won't be in there. But yo, we'll be back Monday, New Year's Eve, ready to say bon voyage to 2018. It was a good year. You got your health. You got a friend, and you got us, man. We got each other. Before we fucking check out of here, you know me, dog. I don't care what size business you got. Whether it's small, big, 10 employees, 12 employees, 20 employees, hiring employees is tough, you know, and you got to be smart with it. Where are you going to get your employee? From job boards that send you candidates that aren't qualified for the road you posted, on job boards that send you a mile-high stack of resumes to sort through, or job boards that make you wait for the right people to apply for your job. You know, listen, you know what smart is? Smart is going to ZipRecruiter.com/church to hire the right person. Unlike most other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you. It's a powerful matching technology that scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience, and actively invites them to apply to your specific job so you get the qualified candidates mucho rapido. That means fast, because time is money. You know that as a business owner. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number 1 by employers in the U.S. And this rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? You post a job on several online job boards, you get nothing. You get nothing. And then you got to sort through the resumes. You get nothing. And you get the wrong resume. ZipRecruiter.com/church. That's the way to go. You understand me? The technology is the best. And right now, the church family, I'm going to get you ZipRecruiter for free. You're like, Joey, how could this be? I got a small business. I only got 4 people. Got free! ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/church, C-H-U-R-C-H. If you love this show and you want to support us and help us out and help yourself by getting a tremendous employee, go to ZipRecruiter.com/church. That's C-H-U-R-C-H. That's ZipRecruiter.com/church. We're just talking about you getting your fucking life together. It's 2019. When is it going to fucking end? And this goes for me, too. You understand me? I get my little slipping points, too. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I do it every other month to give my brain. Alpha brain is the way to go. Write your fucking goals down. Get your fucking alpha brain. Listen, alpha brain is so good. It's on its flagship supplement. It's so good. They believe in it. That if you get alpha brain and it don't help you out, you get 100% money-back guarantee, and you can keep the fucking pills, okay? What other company does that? Tell me. Nobody. Go to Honor.com right now and press it.
Charge.
Boom! And get 10% off delivered right to the crib, right there. No drama. No nothing. And I'm not talking about just supplements. I'm talking about kettlebells, weighted vests. I'm talking about club bats. I'm talking about Shroom Tech Sports, Shroom Tech Immune. I'm talking about tremendous protein. I'm talking about things that will change your life. Go to Honor.com right now and press in.
Church.
And get 10% off your first order delivered right to your door. I want to thank ZipRecruiter. Honit.com/church and Honit.com/church for sponsoring the Church of What's Happened Now. But most importantly, I want to thank you guys for having my back, having Lee's back. And that's it, and that's that. It's fucking Thursday. Go out there, sling some dick. Do it over the weekend so you mind your business on New Year's Eve and you don't get stabbed in the fucking kidney, all right? Nobody wants to spend the 2nd and the 3rd of fucking January when rent is due in the fucking hospital because you want to go to a stupid party. Get your fucking loads out this weekend and mind your business. We'll be back Monday morning, New Year's fucking Eve, 6 a.m., ready to rock. Tip top. Take this motherfucking muley.
Calls a mama, I'm sure all the hundred and 9 years around. I don't think smile in the words, and I'm a man, I gain experience. I know you got another man, but I can love you better than him. Take my hand, don't be afraid, I'm gonna prove every word I say. I'm advertising love for free, so you can place your hand. Once I come along and down by the thing, let me light your candle, calls a mama, I'm sure all the hand and now gets around. Your candle calls a mama, I'm sure all the hand and ass is around. Let me light your candle, calls a mama, I'm sure all the hand and I just around.